And now for reading and writing and radio.
I have a sister. My sister is deaf. She is special. There are not many sisters like mine. My sister can play the piano. She likes to feel the deep rumbling chords, but she will never be able to sing. She cannot hear the tune. My sister can dance with a partner or march in a line. She likes to leap, to tumble, to roll, to climb to the top of the monkey bars. She watches me as we climb. I watch her, too. She cannot hear me shout, "Look out!" But she can see me swinging her way. She laughs and swings backward, trying to catch my legs.
The author of that passage about a special sister is Jeannie Whitehouse Peterson, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
I have a sister. My sister is deaf. That's the title of a new book published by Harper and Row in 1977. The author is a young woman in New Mexico, Jean Whitehouse Peterson. I met her at a conference, and I take a teensy bit of credit, for she'd read my book, Turn Not Pale, Beloved Snail, and told me, "It inspired me to stop carrying a book around to read and to carry one instead to write in." I do think she'd already begun her book before she'd read Snail, or certainly had thought about writing it, but then was encouraged by my book to finish it up. I told Jean that I'd love to see her story, and instead she sent me a tape of herself reading it. I will play it for you. It describes what life is like for her deaf sister.
Hello. My name is Jean Whitehouse Peterson, and the first book that I have ever written is just now being published by Harper and Row. It's called I Have a Sister. My sister is deaf. I guess I'll just say briefly that I do have a sister. My sister is deaf. However, this book is not truly out of my autobiographical past in terms of the details, but what is true is the feeling of how it feels to have a deaf sister. And as I was writing it, actually I was thinking not so much of story but of concept, as in all the things that a deaf child can do and all the things that a deaf child can't do, and that it's hard, but it's also that a deaf child is okay. So here's the book. I have a sister. My sister is deaf. She is special. There are not many sisters like mine. My sister can play the piano. She likes to feel the deep rumbling chords, but she will never be able to sing. She cannot hear the tune. My sister can dance with a partner or march in a line. She likes to leap, to tumble, to roll, to climb to the top of the monkey bars. She watches me as we climb. I watch her too. She cannot hear me shout, "Look out!" But she can see me swinging her way. She laughs and swings backward, trying to catch my legs. I have a sister who likes to go with me out to the grassy lot behind our house. Today we are stalking deer. I turn to speak to her. I use no voice, just my fingers and my lips. She understands and walks behind me, stepping where I step. I am the one who listens for small sounds. She is the one who watches for quick movements in the grass. When my sister was very small, when I went to school and she did not, my sister learned to say some words. Each day she sat on the floor with our mother playing with some toys we keep in an old shoebox. It's a ball, our mother would say. It's a dog. It's a book. When I came home, I also sat on the floor. My sister put her hands into the box. She smiled and said, ball. Ball, it sounded to me. It's a ball, I repeated, just like our mother did. My sister nodded and smiled. Ball, she said once more. Again it sounded like ball to me. Now my sister has started going to my school, although our mother still helps her speak and lip read at home. The teacher and children do not understand every word she says, like sister or water or thumb. Today the children in her room told me, your sister said blue. Well, I heard her say that a long time ago. But then they have not lived with my sister for 5 years the way I have. I understand my sister. My sister understands what I say, too, especially if I speak slowly and move my hands a lot. But it is not only my lips and fingers that my sister watches. I wore my sunglasses yesterday. The frames are very large. The lenses are very black. My sister made me take them off when I spoke. What do my brown eyes say to her brown eyes? That I would really rather play ball than play house? That I just heard our mother call but do not want to go in yet? Yes, I have a sister who can understand what I say, but not always. Last night I asked, where are my pajamas? She went into the kitchen and brought out a bunch of bananas from the fruit bowl on the table. My friends ask about my little sister. They ask, does it hurt to be deaf? No, I say. Her ears don't hurt. But her feelings do when people do not understand. My sister cannot always tell me with words what she feels. Sometimes she cannot even show me with her hands. But when she is angry or happy or sad, my sister can say more with her face and her shoulders than anyone else I know. I tell my friends I have a sister who knows when a dog is barking near her and who says she does not like the feel of that sound. She knows when our cat is purring if it is sitting on her lap, or that our radio is playing if she is touching it with her hand. But my sister will never know if the telephone is ringing or if someone is knocking at the door. She will never hear the garbage cans clanging around in the street. I have a sister who sometimes cries at night when it is dark and there is no light in the hall. When I try plugging my ears in the dark, I cannot hear the clock ticking on the shelf or the television playing in the living room. I do not hear any cars moving out on the street. There is nothing. Then I wonder, is it the same? I have a sister who will never hear the branches scraping against the window of our room. She will not hear the sweet tones of the wind chimes I have hung up there. But when the storms come, my sister does not wake to the sudden rolling thunder or the quick clap-clap of the shutters in the wind. My little sister sleeps. I'm the one who's afraid. When my friends ask, I tell them, I have a sister who watches television without turning on the sound. I have a sister who rocks her dolls without singing any tune. I have a sister who can talk with her fingers or in a hoarse, gentle voice. But sometimes she yells so loud, our mother says the neighbors at my sister's attention, or wave at her across the room. I come up beside her and put my hand on her arm. She can feel the stamping. She can feel the touching. She can glimpse my moving hand from the corner of her eye. But if I walk up behind her and call out her name, she cannot hear me. I have a sister. My sister is deaf.
I grew up close to a deaf person. My grandfather was deaf, and we lived on the same farm, so I saw him every day until he died when I was 20. As soon as I could spell, I learned the deaf alphabet with my hands so that I could talk to him. And by then I could write to him, too. Before that, when I was 5 or 4 or younger, I really don't remember how I talked to him, but I'm sure we communicated by looks and hugs or by someone else telling Grandpa what it was that I wanted to say to him. My grandfather was very special, too. Because he was deaf, he listened more than most people. That may seem strange, but he tried to understand very carefully, and he gave me or my sisters or my brother his complete attention when we were talking to him, and he took clues from our expressions, our gestures. He could hear us quite well in that way. He was listening to us with everything except his ears. He was listening with his heart. It wasn't till I was much older that I realized that Grandpa had a handicap. When I got older, Grandpa would often take me with him to farm meetings or other gatherings. He'd say, "Come be my ears." Sometimes he'd take me out of school or to another town, and I would listen and write as fast as I could, for I was a fast writer, what it was that the speaker was saying. Grandpa had long tablets of lined yellow paper, and I wrote on those. It always made me very proud to be chosen to be Grandpa's ears. You may not all have a sister or a grandfather or a friend who is deaf, but you all do know a person with some sort of physical handicap, perhaps someone in your own family. Perhaps you have a handicap yourself, little or big. Most of us do. My poor eyes aren't a handicap to me until I lose or break my glasses, and then I am in a very bad way. I know that some of you who listen to Reading and Writing and Radio are in braces or wheelchairs because I've seen you at your schools and getting around very briskly. There are a lot of books about people with handicaps. Jean Peterson's book that you just heard is for young children, and it doesn't have a story. It just tells about her sister. Another such book is Don't Feel Sorry for Paul by a man named Wolfe, and it's illustrated with photographs of Paul, who was born with imperfect arms and legs and has to wear special devices so that he can walk or pick things up. But Paul goes to school, he can ride a horse, and he lives a full life. There are longer books with stories to them. At the library, you can ask for a book on almost any, from obvious ones like blindness or deafness or being on crutches or in a wheelchair or cerebral palsy or stuttering, to handicaps that we're just beginning to understand, such as dyslexia, a kind of learning disability that makes it difficult to learn to read or write or spell. Dyslexia doesn't show, and this is part of the problem. If you can see that a person can't walk, then you don't put that person on the track team. But if someone who has perfectly good eyes and ears and just can't read, then it's harder, for it seems as if there should be no reason why that person can't learn to read or spell, and that that person must just be lazy and isn't trying. So it's terribly difficult and frustrating to the people who have this disability, and often they themselves don't know they have it. They can't figure out why they can't read either. A friend of mine in the early days of learning about dyslexia told her son, Chris, she said, "Don't take French. You won't be able to write it or spell it, and you're going to flunk. You can learn French by listening to it the way you learned English, but your school won't understand that, and it's nothing to be ashamed of." And she said the line about the track team. So Chris didn't take French as a school subject, but he learned it on his own by listening. He's a very bright boy. He can talk French, but he still can't spell either French or English, and he never really will be a speller. Sometimes we're born with handicaps, and sometimes they happen to us. A good friend of mine, Annabelle, lost her right hand in a car accident, and she was right-handed. And while she was in the hospital and feeling very depressed, another friend tied her own right hand behind her back and spent 2 whole weeks without using her right hand at all. Then she wrote a long letter to Annabelle, not saying that everything's going to be hunky-dory. After all, the hand was gone, and Annabelle had played the violin and the piano, but telling Annabelle what she had learned, what was possible, what might be possible, and other such things. Annabelle was very glad for that letter. It gave her reality, and it gave her hope, and it also showed her what a friend she had. If we have handicaps, we need to have confidence that we are still worthwhile. This is beautifully told in the book The Wheel on the School by Meinert DeYoung, which won the Newbery Medal in 1951, I think. Old Janus has lost his legs and is in a wheelchair, and he is as mean as they come, and everybody hates him, until through a series of surprising events, with the help of the children of Shora, he shows everybody, including himself, that he can still get around, he can still be useful and helpful, and that he can have some fun in life. And because of this, he becomes a transformed man. Let's write on physical handicaps today. Do you have one? How do you feel about it? Tell us a story, perhaps, of how your handicap has prevented you from doing some of the things that you'd like to do, how it's limited you, or how you have not let it stand in your way in certain things. I know of someone that did enter the track team. He did the whole jogging bit over at Allerton Park from his wheelchair. Tell us how you've learned to accept and to live with your handicap. And perhaps you can even do certain things because of your handicap. Or if you don't have a handicap, large or small, and I consider even being left-handed in a right-handed world as a handicap, though a minor one, then you have a sister or a grandfather or a friend who does. Tell us about that person, how he or she manages. Or try to put yourself in that person's place. If you will, tie your hand behind your back, or cover your eyes or your ears, and feel as deeply and in as many different ways as you can what it's like to have that limitation, and how you would learn to cope if you had it. That's not feeling sorry for Paul. It's not even sympathy. There's a better word that describes it. It's called empathy. And empathy is putting yourself in the other person's place. By practicing empathy, you'll be developing a very fine trait that anyone can develop, with or without a handicap. This feeling into another person's situation so that you almost feel it yourself. This makes us more loving and understanding people. And without loving and understanding to the best of our ability, that's when we're really handicapped. And if we can love and understand, then no handicap can completely handicap us.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.